So please join in. First of all, we'll sing some prayers to our spiritual master. Then we'll sing some prayers to Lord Chaitanya. And then we'll chant the Hare Krishna mantra. If you know the prayers we sing in the beginning, then you can also join in. If you don't know those, then that's okay. But at least you can join in when we chant Hare Krishna. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Sarasati Deva Garavani Pracharine Nevisesha Sunyavadi Pasyachade Jatarine. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Sivasati Gaubhakta Vrinda. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Sivasati Gaubhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Everyone join in. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Everyone join in.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Bal, Hare Bal, Hare Bal, Hare Bal. Nitya Hare Bal, Hare Bal, Hare Bal, Hare Bal. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, Kate. Sri Jagannath Rath Yatra Festival, Kate. Go, Premananda. Pieces of paper and pens being passed around. So, we would like you all to write down any questions you may have about this festival that we are celebrating here, about Krishna consciousness generally, anything really that you're interested in, at least anything which is connected to spiritual life, and we'll try and answer those questions. So this festival we're having, this is the festival of the chariots. The Sanskrit term, traditional Sanskrit term, is Rath Yatra, which of course means the same thing. Ratha means chariot, as you've probably seen just outside there on the road. We have our chariot, and Yatra means festival, so that's festival of the chariot, chariots, celebrating the return of Krishna, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to Vrindavan. This is a very wonderful pastime of the Lord's. Lord Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago in this universe, on this planet. Krishna, of course, is the Supreme Person. According to the Vedic scriptures, the great Vedic authorities like Lord Brahma, Lord Brahma is the creator of the universe. Lord Brahma says, Ishvara Parama Krishna, which means that Krishna is the Ishvara Parama. Ishvara means controller. Parama means supreme. Krishna is the supreme controller. And Lord Brahma continues to say, Satyat Ananda Vigraha. And Haribol, you've got more paper? You'll continue passing it around? Okay. We have plenty of paper, so we'd like to get as many questions as possible. We know that generally, practically everyone has some questions they want to ask about Krishna consciousness. It's very rare to find a person who knows everything about Krishna consciousness or about anything. So how do we find out those things that we don't know about? We have to ask. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna himself makes that point. Pariprashnena. We have to make inquiries. If we want to learn the truth, then we have to make inquiries. Those inquiries, of course, shouldn't be foolish. We shouldn't ask stupid questions. And we don't need to ask about things that we already understand. But certainly we should try and clarify any issues or points that we're not clear on. And because the subject of Krishna consciousness is completely spiritual, transcendental, then undoubtedly there are going to be some subjects that we don't really understand so clearly. So feel free, write down whatever questions you want to. It's all very anonymous. You don't have to worry about becoming embarrassed if you have to put your hand up and stand up and ask a question. You may ask a silly question and people may laugh at you. But here you don't have to worry about that. Just write it down. So we were explaining about the origins of this festival, of how Lord Krishna returned to Vrindavan. We are saying that Lord Krishna, according to the Vedic scriptures, Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We mentioned how Lord Brahma
makes certain statements about Krishna, Ishvara Parama Krishna. Krishna is the supreme controller, and his body, his form, is not like ours. Our forms, our bodies, are temporary. Our bodies are prone to misery. Just a few seconds ago, I was hearing one little child screaming off to the side here, which is indicating that these bodies are not very pleasant places to be. There he is. You can hear him? There he is again. Material body. Prone to sickness. Prone to getting tired and aching and getting older. So these bodies are temporary. These bodies are prone to misery. And in this material world, we're all prone to ignorance. We want to know so many things. Like we've all been to school. Some of us may be still at school or university. So the idea there is to learn so many things. Information on many different subjects. Then you're meant to retain it all. And when the exam comes, you're meant to write it all down, answer all the questions, and ideally get everything right. But does that happen? I don't think it happens very often at all. Not that the students, when it comes time to the exam, not that the students are asked questions about subjects that they haven't learnt about. No, it's simply reviewing whatever they've been through in the course of the year or so. But still, it's very rare that anyone gets 100%. Why? Because we are prone to ignorance. We're prone to forget. So that is our nature within this material world. Our bodies are temporary, they're prone to misery, and we are prone to ignorance. But Lord Brahma, he's explaining about Lord Krishna. Lord Brahma, who's the creator of this material world that we're in at present. Lord Brahma says that he says, Satchit Ananda Vigraha. Of course, this is Sanskrit. Probably, perhaps none of you would really be that familiar with Sanskrit. But it's the mother of all languages, actually. So, Lord Brahma says in Sanskrit, Satchit Ananda Vigraha. He's describing Krishna. So Krishna's Vigraha, Vigraha means form or body, is Sat. Sat means eternal. Chit. Chit means fully conscious, not prone to ignorance. We are prone to be ignorant just about our very immediate situation. But Krishna, he is so fully conscious that he is conscious of everything, everywhere, past, present, and future, simultaneously. So his consciousness, his awareness, is not inhibited, is not restricted in any way. Unlimited. Fully present, fully conscious of everything past, present, and future. Everywhere. All living beings. So this is Krishna, according to Lord Brahma. He possesses a form which is eternal, fully conscious, and ananda, blissful, fully blissful. Of course, we're all well aware that in this material world, everyone is searching for happiness. No one enjoys being miserable. But we know that happiness is not so easy to find. If happiness was very easy to find, you'd find a lot of very happy people around. They'd probably be dancing around, singing, dancing, jumping jubilantly. But we don't find that. At least we don't find it very often. Even if someone is a very big, important person, you don't find generally
that they're extremely happy regularly, and certainly not all the time. Do we hear that Mr. de Klerk or Mr. Mandela or people like this, do you ever read in the newspaper that Mr. Mandela woke up this morning and he was in ecstasy? He was in great ecstasy. Overwhelmingly blissful. No. You don't find that about anyone. Because within this material world, no one is experiencing great happiness. Certainly not all the time. Despite making every effort to find happiness and to avoid problems, people are not succeeding. Because that's the nature of this world. Everything is prone to misery. Like we all have these material bodies. So what is the culmination of our lives going to be? The lives of these bodies. The culmination of the lives of these bodies, unfortunately, is going to be death. The death rate is 100%. No one is able to cleverly sidestep death. That's not possible. Because of the nature, that is the nature of these bodies. That is the nature of everything material. So no matter how hard you work, how much money you make, how famous you become, or any of these, however many goals you achieve of that sort, no matter what you achieve, it's all going to culminate in death. That's all. That's all. So in other words, it's like a big dead-end street. A one-way dead-end street. It's not two ways. It's one way. And the end, it's a dead-end street. The end is death. You can't just turn around in the middle. When you're young, of course, you don't normally think that, oh, I'm going to die. You just think, I'm alive and I can do what I want, when you're young. But as you get a little older, you realize, oh, wait a minute. Death is there and it seems like it's going to come to me. So it's not that you can just turn around and go back out. It's a one-way street. And at the end, it's a dead-end street. The end is death. So no matter what you achieve, how successful you are by material standards, it will all end in death. And even in the meantime, of course death is bad enough, but even in the meantime it's going to be very difficult. So many problems will be there. We living here in South Africa, I think we would be very much aware of that life can be very difficult. It can be very difficult. But that's the nature of this world. That's the nature of our bodies, because our bodies are parts of this world. But Krishna is not. Krishna is not simply a part of this world. His form is Satchit Ananda, eternal, fully conscious, and fully blissful. And he is Ishvara Parama. He is the supreme controller. We have our little spheres of control. If you're a father or a mother, you have your little family and you try to control them. Of course, it's not easy. It's not easy to control your children, get them to do exactly what you want. But we're trying. We try to control. If you're a businessman, you try to control your business. If you're a politician, you may try to control your country or some area of your country. We're trying to control. But our ability to control is quite limited. Actually, it's so limited that we have difficulty even controlling our own senses. We have difficulty controlling our own senses. People talk about controlling the universe through science. Somehow or other we'll conquer nature and get control of nature. But we can't even control our senses. We have to eat, sleep, mate, defend. These are all sensual pushings. And it's very difficult to control the senses. Very difficult. That's why, at least traditionally in India, it's said that the question arises, who is really a hero? What is the qualification that a person must have to be recognized as a hero? So we might think that he should be big, strong warrior, something like that, able to kill people or beat up people. Then he's a big hero. But Srila Prabhupada, he gave the example of Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great, he was a big conqueror, big military man. He conquered so many countries. But when, I think it was Cleopatra, anyway, one of the famous ladies of history, I think it was Cleopatra. When Cleopatra walked in front of Alexander the Great, Alexander the Great surrendered completely to her. He surrendered completely to her and became her humble servant. Why? Because he couldn't control his senses. In that case, his attraction to the opposite sex. Even though he could kill people with the sword and so on. But he couldn't overcome his sensual desires. So a person who can overcome his or her sensual desires, such a person is really a hero. Those senses, they are really the great enemy, the great enemies that we have within this world. If you can conquer your senses, that is a real achievement. Anyway, Krishna is Satchit Ananda. His form is eternal, fully conscious, and blissful. That means that his form is quite different from our forms. We mentioned our forms are temporary. They're prone to misery. We're prone to ignorance. So our forms are quite different from the form of Krishna. So does that mean that we are quite different from Krishna in all regards? Krishna is spiritual and we are material. That we are doomed, perhaps, to living in temporary situations and to living in misery. That we are doomed to ignorance. No. No. We have come from Krishna, actually. Krishna sometimes is described as being like a great fire, and we are described as being like little sparks which have come from the fire. So that fire or Krishna, he is eternal, fully conscious and blissful. So we are also of the same nature. But the thing is that he is very great. He's very vast, like the great fire. And we are very tiny, like the little sparks that come from the fire. So in this example of the fire and the sparks, we know that if a spark comes out of the fire and tries to exist separate from the fire, then the spark will go out. When the spark is in the fire, the spark has the fiery, same fiery qualities as the fire. But when the spark comes out and is existing separately, then the spark loses the fiery nature of the fire. You can't touch the fire with your hand, but that spark, when it comes out, when it's been separated from the fire for a little while, you can touch it, you can pick it up. So similarly, thank you, when we are in connection with the fire, or when we're connected with Krishna, God, then our godly qualities are manifest. But if we become separated from Krishna, separated from God, then those godly qualities become lost. So that is our position here. Godly qualities means, at least in this context, eternal, fully conscious, and blissful. But when we become separated from Krishna, then instead of being eternal, we acquire a temporary nature. We're all eternal spiritual persons. So by nature we are eternal, fully conscious, not exactly fully conscious like God is, fully conscious of everything everywhere, but at least we're fully conscious of ourselves and our own position. And we are blissful. But now we are covered. That spiritual nature is covered by matter. And because we have this covering and we're accepting this covering, then we become affected by it. We become affected by it and we think, oh yes, I am temporary. Like this. Just like we have these lights here. For some reason they're on now. But anyway, we have these lights here. And we know that the light is pure light, clear light. But if we put some covering over the light, like if we paint the light bulb red, then you'll think, oh, we have red light. But we don't have red light. It's the same clear light, but it's covered. So it's now manifesting in terms of the covering. The red covering. We're thinking, oh, it's red light. But it's the same clear light. It's just passing through the red covering. But when it passes through, it picks up that nature. And therefore we think, oh, it's a red light. So that's what's happening in this material world. We're all eternal, conscious, blissful, living beings. But because we have accepted these temporary material bodies, we are manifesting as if we were temporary, miserable, and prone to ignorance. But this is not our nature. So, this festival then, to get back to this festival, Rath Yatra Festival, this is a festival to celebrate how Krishna is very kind to his devotees. Krishna is very kind. God is very kind to his devotees. 5,000 years ago, Krishna appeared in Vrindavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared on this planet, in India, in the area known as Vrindavan. And Krishna stayed in Vrindavan for a number of years, and then he left Vrindavan, and he eventually went to Dwarka. So he was separated from the inhabitants of Vrindavan for a long time, many years. But finally they were reunited again in another place called Kurukshetra. So when they met there, the inhabitants of Vrindavan asked Krishna, please come back to Vrindavan. That is your home, that special place which is very dear to you, where you always appear within this world. So on the request of his devotees, Krishna returned. Now if we call out to God, Krishna, Krishna, come here, appear before me, then he won't do that. He won't just appear before us. He won't just do what we want. But the inhabitants of Vrindavan, when they ask Krishna, please come back to Vrindavan with us. Then the inhabitants of Vrindavan, Krishna immediately agreed, yes. So they put him on his chariot, like this big chariot we have, and they pulled him back. They took him back to Vrindavan. So Krishna, God, who cannot be ordered around by anyone, he accepted the request of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. On their request, he returned to Vrindavan. Now why? Why would Krishna, why would God agree to the request of the inhabitants of Vrindavan? But when we request something, like if we request Krishna, thank you, please appear before me, then Krishna won't do it. I mean, you could always try that. Don't do it right now. But you could always try that. God, appear before me right now.
He won't do it. Why? Because there's a difference between us and the inhabitants of Vrindavan. What is the difference? The difference is that they have love for God, for Krishna. And we don't. Generally, the average person does not have love of God. When we say love of God, we mean that one has no interest in life other than pleasing God, pleasing Krishna. No selfish interest. Whatever Krishna wants, whatever God wants, immediately we'll accept that. Just like an interesting story in this regard, it concerns Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani. When Krishna left Vrindavan, as we mentioned, when he initially left Vrindavan, then all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they were feeling terribly sad, terribly heartbroken. Probably some of us have had the experience of losing the association of someone who is very dear to us. So it can be quite a devastating experience. The inhabitants of Vrindavan, they were completely devastated, actually, when Krishna left them. They were so devastated that Srimati Radharani, her name, Radha, means worship or worshipper, and Rani means queen. So she is the queen of all the worshippers of Krishna. So Radharani, as the topmost devotee of the Supreme Lord, Krishna, she was so overwhelmed that she thought, I can't live without Krishna. I can't live without him. It's too painful. So therefore, I'll kill myself. I'll commit suicide. She was feeling so distressed. So she was intending to do that. But then she thought again, that if I kill myself, then Krishna, sooner or later, he'll hear. He'll hear that this happened, that I did this, because I was so distressed. So Krishna will hear that I killed myself. And when Krishna hears this, then Krishna will feel very sad, that because of him, I killed myself. So if I kill myself, it'll be very displeasing to Krishna. So, I don't want to displease Krishna. I don't want to make Krishna sad. So therefore, I won't kill myself. I'll continue living, even though it's very, very painful. So this is one example to illustrate the idea of love, pure love. No personal consideration. Only concern for the pleasure of Krishna. The pleasure of God. So when we talk about love, love of God, or just any love, this is what we mean. Generally in this world, when people talk of love, generally it's not exactly love in the sense which we have just described. Generally what it means is that you satisfy my senses. You give me a lot of pleasure. Therefore, I say that I love you. But if you stop giving me pleasure, then I stop loving you. So this is not love, this is lust. In fact, love of God, is an inherent part of the nature of the soul. But when the soul comes in contact with the material body, that loving propensity, pure loving propensity for Krishna, for God, it becomes perverted and it manifests as this lust. So like, you know, it has occurred to me, to be quite honest, having attended a number of funerals and seen the sometimes rather spectacular exhibitions of emotional displays at those funerals, people feeling very distressed that someone near to them has died. it occurred to me that the reason that the people are really crying is because the person who just died was giving them a lot of pleasure. Now that person is dead, so all the pleasure that you are getting from them is gone. So now they're thinking, how am I going to live without the pleasure that I was getting from this person who's just died? Isn't it? Anyway, that idea occurred to me. That idea occurred to me. So this is lust, actually. Whereas love means simply desiring to please the beloved with no personal consideration. So the inhabitants of Vrindavan, or any pure devotee, anyone who is purely devoted to the Supreme Lord, who has love for the Supreme Lord, if they request Krishna, God, to do something, then immediately he'll agree. Like the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they asked Krishna to return to Vrindavan. He immediately returned. But if we ask him to do something, he may not do that. He may not do that because we don't have love for him. So if we cultivate this love for Krishna, then Krishna, he will help us in so many regards. Thank you. He'll help us in so many regards. If we want to get some favor from the Supreme Lord, then rather than just demand things from him, we should try to actually please him. And he appreciates that. Then he will reciprocate. That's very natural. He actually favors his devotees. He favors his devotees. He'll do what they ask. But the average person who has no particular feeling for him, they may request, but he may not do. So the missing ingredient is love. The missing ingredient is love. Srila Prabhupada said that this is natural. This is natural. The devotee of the Lord takes a position, dependent position in front of the Lord, just like a little child is dependent on parents. So the parents are very happy to help their little child. So in that way, the devotee, dependent on the Lord, is helped by the Lord. So now we'll try and answer a few questions. I guess the piece of paper and pen is here, can still be passed around. We're going to try and answer some questions now. If any of you who have just walked in would like to ask some questions, then write them down on the paper that is being passed around. Jai, can you see that gets passed around? Here's a very nice question. What are the reasons for chanting Hare Krishna? What is the purpose of chanting? And how can we overcome the miseries of material existence? Chanting. First of all, let us consider chanting. Just a little while ago, we chanted Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'm sure you're all probably well aware that this Hare Krishna movement chants Hare Krishna, chants that particular Hare Krishna mantra a lot. A lot, actually. Every day. Every day for some hours we chant this Hare Krishna Maha mantra. You can all follow me as I chant it now. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So why? Why chant Hare Krishna? It's not just a matter of chanting Hare Krishna, but any mantra or prayer or any name or names of God If we chant those names, speak them, sing them, remember them, chant them, if we vocalize them or remember the name of the Lord in any way, any name, then we're spiritually benefited. This mantra, the Hare Krishna mantra, is made up of three words, Hare, Krishna, and Rama. Krishna is a name of the Lord. It means the all-attractive person. And Rama is also a name of the Lord, meaning the source of all pleasure. And Hare, Hare is a word for addressing the Lord. Something like praise. In the Christian tradition they say, praise the Lord. So Hare is something like that, not exactly the same. Literally, Hare means, it's a request to the Supreme Lord. Please bring me closer to you by engaging me in your service. Excuse me. So Hare, Hare Krishna, means we're appealing to the Lord. Please bring us closer to you by engaging us in your service. So, if we do like this, this is a spiritual sound vibration. The name of God is spiritual. The names of the Supreme Lord are spiritual. Krishna and Rama are two names of God. God has many names, an unlimited number of names. We also accept names which come in other traditions, like in the Judaic tradition. There's the name Yahweh, Hebrew term, Yahweh. We accept that also as being a bona fide name of God. In the Christian tradition, there's the name Jehovah. In the Islamic Mohammedan tradition, there's the name Allah. So we accept those names. We accept those as being bona fide names of God. So if you sing, if you chant any of those names, you'll be spiritually benefited because they're spiritual sound vibrations. Spiritually benefited means that when you hear that sound, it goes in through the ear and it reaches to the heart. And it purifies the heart of material contamination. This covering which is there over the soul. And gradually your spiritual nature will become manifest. So, this is the effect of chanting any name of God. Because it is spiritual sound vibration, it has that potency to cleanse the heart. Just like sound vibration has effects on the people who hear it. If you're living in a city, if you're living in the middle of a city and you're hearing trucks and all sorts of noises, Haribol, why don't you pass it out around that way? You're hearing all sorts of unpleasant noises all day. Then what will happen to your consciousness? Your consciousness will be disturbed. That's generally why you find that people who live in the hearts of big, big cities, they're generally in a more agitated frame of mind because of the sound vibration there. Whereas people who live in the country where everything is very peaceful and quiet, they'll generally be more peaceful. So sound vibration has its effect. And spiritual sound vibration has a spiritually purifying effect on the consciousness. Now, so that's one thing about chanting. Another thing about chanting is that those names, Krishna, Rama, or any genuine name of God, the Supreme Lord Himself, He is not different from His name. God and His name are the same. So when we chant the name of God, then we are in the direct association of the Supreme Lord, personal association. And when you're in His association, you become cleansed by His association. Just like if you sit next to a fire, you become hot by the influence of the fire. So if you associate closely with the Supreme Lord, you'll become affected, you'll become influenced by His potency. And His potency is completely spiritual. So you'll become spiritualized. Actually, you'll develop the same nature as Him. Just as when you sit by a fire, you acquire the same nature as the fire. You become hot. So when you associate with God, you become godly. Or as Srila Prabhupada would say, you become Krishnized. Krishnized. Prabhupada would give the example, you put an iron rod in fire and you leave it there for some time. You pull it out and touch it to some paper or something, and what happens? That iron rod will act as fire. Whatever you touch it to will be burnt. So when we come into contact with the Supreme Lord, then we acquire the same godly nature, eternal, blissful, conscious, like this. So that is the reason, that is the purpose of chanting Hare Krishna. That is why we recommend everyone to chant Hare Krishna, or any name of God, actually. Now, if you'll just bear with me for a second, I'm going to sit on a chair because I've been sitting cross-legged for the last few days for several hours a day, and my legs are getting a little tired. Okay. So that's something about chanting. Chanting the Hare Krishna mantra or chanting any name of God. We definitely don't say that you must chant only Hare Krishna. And if you chant some other name of God which comes in some other tradition, then you're automatically wrong. And, you know, you're just like automatically wasting your time. Not like that at all. But any bona fide name of God will have that effect. And you'll find, we find, and you'll also find, if you try it, that when you chant the names of God, like the Hare Krishna mantra, you'll find that it has a very noticeable effect. Like I said, you pick up the nature of God. You become influenced by His nature, so you become blissful. If you chant Hare Krishna, we chant for some hours every day, and it doesn't get boring. Like myself, as a case in point, I've been chanting for about three hours every day without fail, every single day, for it's almost, say, the last 21 years, quite a long time. Every single day, by my good fortune, I haven't missed one day yet, and I hope not to. And I can say that after 21 years of doing it for 3 hours every day, that I haven't yet found it boring. Actually, quite the opposite. I've found that it gets nicer and nicer and nicer. Now, if you try chanting some ordinary mundane sound vibration, like some of you, I'm sure some of you are married, so you have a husband or a wife. Say your husband's name is John. Anyone here have a husband whose name is John? No? Anyway, say your husband's name is John. So that's a name. Krishna is a name. It's one of God's names. And your husband also has a name. But his name is John. So we're chanting the name Krishna. So you might think, why can't I chant the name John? To glorify him. Of course, that's if you think your husband is glorious enough that you should glorify him every day for a few hours a day. I don't know if any
wives feel like that about their husbands. But just say you did. So you chant John, 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 John for 3 hours a day. Well, I don't know if you would be able to. I don't know if you'd be able to. You can try. People have tried this, actually, as an experiment. And they find that after a little while, they get fed up with it. They just can't do it any longer. Because it's a material sound, material name. But if you chant the name of God, because God, or name, any name or names of God, because he is personally present in those names, you experience his presence, you find it very blissful, you don't become bored. It's not that if you chant Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola for 3 hours a day, it's not that your thirst is going to be quenched. Because the substance, Coca-Cola, and the name Coca-Cola are totally, they're different things. The name and the substance indicated by the name are not the same. But God and his name or names are actually the same. So when you chant the names of God, you experience his presence. And among other things, you become blissful. Among other things, you start to develop a consciousness of God. By consciousness of God, I mean, you start to appreciate, in a broad sense, how this world and the various things in this world are actually related with God. Srila Prabhupada gave the example that you may have a little child. Little child, then eventually after 5 or 6 years, the little child goes to school. So for the first 5 or 6 years, the child has been with the mother all day, every day. But then one day, the child goes to school and the mother is separated from the child. Of course, it's often difficult for the child, the first day at school, being separated from the mother. But it can also be a little difficult for the mother to be separated from the child. So the child, that the mother is there doing her housework, but then as she's moving around the house, she sees some shoes which belong to the child. And then she remembers, oh my child. In this way, her consciousness of her child is strengthened. So, by contact with this something which is connected with the child. So this whole material world is connected with the Supreme Lord. And if we chant the names of God, then we'll gradually develop a sense, a consciousness of God's presence. This we call Krishna consciousness, which literally means to be conscious of Krishna or God. Very simple thing. So through the chanting, this also happens. And how can we overcome material miseries? Well, this is also relate. The chanting is also related to this subject. Through chanting the names of God, of course, there are also many other activities you can do, but here we're talking about chanting the names of God. Through chanting names of God, you become purified, you become elevated to the spiritual platform, and gradually you become free from the material body. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Dehinosman Yatadehe, Komaram Yovanam Jara, Tatade Hantara Praptir Dhiras Tatra Namuyati. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. But, Krishna says, the self-realized soul is not bewildered by that change, the change at the time of death. So through making spiritual advancement, through coming closer to God, one becomes liberated, actually, from one's entanglement in this material body. So even the time of death, Krishna is saying, a self-realized person will not be bewildered, will not be distressed when the time of death comes. because they'll be aware that I am the soul and I am eternal. The body is simply temporary, it's just a vehicle, and I'm leaving this body and I'll go to another situation. So why become bewildered? So these are some things to do with chanting. Srila Prabhupada, Maharaj Parikshit, and the